From the WGXC newsroom, this is the Weekend in Review. Some of the stories that made the news between Friday, May 27th through Monday, May 30th. I'm Philip Grant. Greg Hudson reported in the Daily Mail that despite having their church closed by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Albany last week, some parishioners of St. Patrick's Church in Catskill are actively looking for a way to rescue the historic 1885 building. The diocese said it made the decision to close the parish because the structure had fallen into disrepair and it could not be repaired. Parishioner Deb Johnson said that was not the outcome expected when the church was closed in 2008, seemingly for roof and ceiling repairs. Johnson said parishioners were told that ultimately the church would be reopened. Anthony Petriani said church members raised more than $250,000 in pledges for a capital fund. He said, and I quote, "To this day, we don't know if or how it was spent because repairs were never made to the building," end quote. Petriani alleges the structure was neglected due to managerial error by those in charge of the church. The Friends of St. Pat's group is now organizing a petition appealing to the diocese to allow for the reopening of the church. Petriani said in addition to completing the needed repairs, a parish debt in excess of $1.5 million will also have to be resolved before the doors can open again. "It may be difficult to make this happen," he said, "because since 2008, more than 600 families have left the parish and they are scattered among other parishes within the diocese and elsewhere." Petriani said he hoped Albany Diocese Bishop Edward Straffenberger would make himself available to the Catskill Parish as they seek a resolution. He said, and I quote, "He should come here, show his face, and listen to the people," end quote. Josefa Velasquez reported at Politico New York that amid a push to curb the use of opioids and heroin statewide, a coalition is pushing the state legislature to widen access to prescription medications with abuse deterrent properties. Encouraged by the creation of the governor's new heroin task force, groups ranging from substance abuse organizations, the NAACP, and the Sheriff's Association are urging support for a bill to do just that. In a memo in support of the legislation, the New York State Sheriff's Association said drugs with abuse deterrent properties can serve as a powerful weapon in fighting prescription opioid abuse. "Medications with abuse deterrent properties are harder to crush or liquefy, making it difficult for people to snort or inject them. Both the Senate and the Assembly passed similar bills last year, but the measure was vetoed by Governor Andrew Cuomo. In his veto message, Cuomo said that while the intent of the legislation was laudable, research on the impacts of such drugs has only just started, and it was too early to tell whether the law would achieve its intended effect. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reported in the Register-Star that local politicians and residents are expressing varying degrees of support for ride-sharing services operating upstate while the state legislature works on a bill to allow them north of New York City. These types of ride-sharing services use phone apps to connect independent drivers with people in need of rides. The independent drivers are not currently permitted to operate upstate. A bill co-sponsored by Assemblymember Pete Lopez and State Senator George Amador would establish insurance requirements and regulate companies such as Uber and allow them to operate north of New York City. Amador said having ride-sharing in the area would benefit people in rural areas with limited transportation options. He said, and I quote, "These types of ride-sharing services will complement each other. Many of the areas where they will be able to operate don't have cab service options, or if it is available, it is very expensive. The legality of Uber and other ride-sharing services has been challenged by governments and taxi companies who allege that the use of drivers who are not licensed to drive taxi cabs is unsafe and illegal." Brian Hubert reported in the Daily Freeman that Tuesday, May the 31st, marks the last day of the Catskill Mountain Railroad's 25-year lease with Ulster County. The county recently put out a request for proposal for a new operator for two portions of the 38-mile corridor, one near Kingston and the other in the town of Shandaken. Dave Hillard, the railroad's vice president, said only that it bid on both eastern and western portions of the corridor. Hillard said an interruption in the railroad's popular theme excursions like the Polar Express is inevitable. "There was a sense of disappointment that the rides would disappear among railroad passengers this weekend. Melissa Bowen of Pine Plains came with her daughters. They wanted to ride the train before the railroad closed." Bowen said she was not pleased with plans to convert part of the corridor into a rail trail. She said, and I quote, "We don't need another rail trail," end quote. Jeanette Wolfberg reported in the Columbia paper, at latest count, the Columbia County Department of Social Services houses 46 homeless people in hotels. The report was provided by DSS Commissioner Carrie Jablanka to the Board of Supervisors Human Services Committee earlier this month. According to Jablanka, the 46 include 8 families of 2 or more people. The remainder are single individuals. Not included in the full count are several people with no permanent address staying with friends or relatives. That undisclosed number includes some children who were identified by their respective school districts. And for our final story, Rick Carlin reported at Capital Confidential that in his latest ad, 19th Congressional GOP primary candidate Andrew Heaney appears to be tying himself to presumed GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump. In the message, Heaney says, and I quote, "Donald Trump and I represent everything that John Faso and his cronies hate. We don't take special interest money and we can't be bought," end quote. Heaney then alludes to his opponent's work as a lobbyist and his tenure in the assembly, referencing Faso's missed votes. Faso responded, noting that during his 16 years in the assembly, he was recorded voting 97% of the time and cast almost 24,000 votes on the floor and in committee. WGXE's 2016 Spring Pledge Drive kicks off on June the 2nd, 2016. Help WGXE 90.7 FM raise $20,000 towards operating expenses to keep hands-on creative community radio alive and well in Greene and Columbia counties. Tune in for a full slate of remote broadcast and turnout for special events. Make a tax-deductible contribution online at wgxc.org/donate or call 518-697-7400. Your tax-deductible contribution will help sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement. Thank you for supporting creative community radio in New York's Greene and Columbia counties. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a sunny day for today with a temperature high near 82 degrees. For Tuesday night, it will be mostly clear with a low around 55. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Wednesday, it will be sunny with a high near 79 degrees. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 55. And on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 77 degrees. Thursday night, scattered showers mainly after midnight, mostly cloudy with a low around 59. Sunrise today was at 5:21 a.m., and the sun will set at 8:25 p.m., providing us with 15 hours and 5 minutes of daylight, 1 minute more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Tuesday, the 31st and last day of May 2016. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.